quenching thirst, quenching chill kind of average and oldie but goodie, but it could never be the average. Guzzle it, sip it, let it flow, you know the steez. We're going to have a hell of a time with drinks like these.
Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you, if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, guten Tag.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
Colonel Wilkerson, in the comment that John Sununu made, he said when you look at Colin Powell, there may be some other reasons why he would support President Obama. What does this say, if anything, about the Republican Party? Isn't this getting to be somewhat of a brand of the Republican Party?
Well, on Governor Sununu's part, I think it was an unfortunate slip of words, but you're insinuating something, and you're insinuating something that is absolutely accurate. My party, unfortunately, is the bastion of those people, not all of them, but most of them, who are still basing their decisions on race. Let me just be candid. My party is full of racists. And the real reason a considerable portion of my party wants President Obama out of the White House has nothing to do with the content of his character, nothing to do with his competence as commander-in-chief and president, and everything to do with the color of his skin. And that's despicable.
What was your reaction to the president's announcement?
Well, I was disappointed. As a Christian, and as a person who believes that the Bible has established clearly what marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman, and because the reality is that the saga of a nation is really the saga of its families written large. And when you redefine the family other than what the Creator intended when he established it, then you're looking at the devolution of civilization.
In the Circuit Court of the 4th Judicial Circuit in and for Duval County, Florida, in case number 16-2012-CF-011572, AXXXMA, Division CRD, the State of Florida versus Michael David Dunn. Verdict is to count two. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. Verdict is to count three. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. Verdict is to count four. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. Verdict is to count five. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of shooting or throwing deadly missiles as charged in the indictment. So say we all, done at Jacksonville, Duval County, Florida, juror number 7, foreperson, dated February 15, 2014.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is February 16th, 2014, and you're in tune to the serious side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGR's Radio Network, online radio at its best, and I'm J. Rao. Of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce to you my right-hand man, the man who really runs everything around here, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Doing great this morning, Mr. Elliott. Glad you're in the house. Dr. Princess Odia has an emergency that she's dealing with, so she will not be here this morning. And coming up a little later,
Excuse me, as always, Jerome is free from HisFreeRadio.net. He has a commitment with Clear Channel Radio, and as soon as his commitment is completed there, he flies on over here and joins us and joins you as well. So once again, we have a great show on tap for you. Happy belated Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope the weekend was good for you. But it's time to get into some serious conversation, and let's get right into it. The call-in number, once again, is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. You can call in and be a part of the conversation. And, of course, we'll say hello to people a little later on in the show because we appreciate that you get up every Sunday morning and spend time with us here on the Sirius side. First on the docket, you know, Republicans hate President Obama. I think we can establish that as the rule here. But listen, Mr. Elias, bottom line is, you heard the colonel on our lead-in. He said, listen, his party is full of racists. That's the reason why they don't like the president. That doesn't have a damn thing to do with his policy. It's all about the fact that he's a black man in charge. What are your thoughts?
I'm glad somebody finally told the truth, man. That's all I'm going to say about that one. Yeah, they finally told the truth. Look, man, you know, I can understand you being opposed to this man because he's not a member of your party. I understand all that between the party lines and, you know, what we're playing. But the bottom line is they're opposed to this man just because of his skin color. I mean, that's obvious. There's been a blatant disrespect. There was disrespect to Clinton, to Bush, too, when the foreigner threw shoes at him. But that was a foreigner throwing shoes at him. You know, here you are in America, and you're doing a State of the Union address, and somebody says, you lie. You know, outright, I'm like, wow. You know, I can't ever recall watching a State of the Union address where that has happened. You know, where they disrespected the president that vehemently, man. So, you know, it's pretty apparent that this guy is, they don't like him because of who he is, not what he is. You know, they don't like this man because of his skin color.
And we talk about this all the time on the show. The fact that, you know, most of his policies, Mr. Elias, if you go back and look at them, I just don't understand how people can be against health care. I can't understand why people are against the government helping people out when they get themselves in a bind. I mean, seems to me that should be your makeup as a human being. That should be in your DNA. But yet still you have all these people out here, especially Republicans and especially white Republicans, who are against this man and everything that he tries to get across through Congress. And keep in mind, a lot of the bills that he tries to push through Congress, some of these bills, Mr. Elias, were at some point in time supported by Republicans. But because President Obama says that this is something that he wants to see go through, all of a sudden they're against it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's apparent, Jay. Even with the health care, because even Mitt Romney spoke out against health care, the health care, Affordable Health Care Act. And, hey, it was his bill that the president pushed. Essentially, it was his bill that they pushed through. Now here's the kicker in the pants to me. I was watching Bill Maher one night, and they went out and they asked the people, hey, would you rather have Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act? And the majority of people said, I'd rather have the Affordable Health Care Act. And then none of them knew that it was the same thing. None of them.
Wow.
It was just wild to even look at this. And everybody was laughing, and I did a number to shake my head because I'm thinking to myself, damn, here you are. You're against the Affordable Health Care Act, and it's the same thing as Obamacare. It's not even a okay, this is what Obamacare, this is what the Affordable Care Act is. I just don't want it because this is who it is. It's just ridiculous, man. It's damn ridiculous, man.
Well, let me ask you this, and, you know, I know and I hope that there's no diabolical scheme that's in place for this. Do you honestly think that they're trying to disrupt and try to discredit this man's presidential term in order for their – well, let me see. How can I word this? Is this a situation where you think they're doing this on purpose to ensure that the nation will never, ever have another African-American president? Do you think that's the case?
So that he'll be the only Jackie Robinson that there will ever be?
Yes.
Think so, to be honest. To be honest, yes, I do. I believe that. You know, they don't want to see that, man. They definitely don't want to see a woman in there. So, hey, you know, they're going to disrupt everything that they can to keep the old politics the same way it's been, always been. And they're not going to keep going with the same way they've done it, man. Look, you know, for somebody to sit there and say the country was in better shape when Bush was in office, you really? really, it was an embedded, it was really losing $750,000, $750,000 jobs a month, and it was in better shape. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a damn shame. What's going on here? Let's say good morning to our political strategist, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jerome.
Is this Jerome? Not sure if it is or not. Maybe we should check the call next time. We'll check
is.
The call. Oh, it is? Okay. All right. Well, we're bringing it back in. All right, Jerome. We didn't know.
Right.
Usually you call in from this. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right. We're talking about the fact that Republicans hate President Obama. White Republicans hate President Obama. And so the question is on the table, Jerome, is this a situation where because of the fact that he's black, regardless of what he stands for, we're going to oppose because we really want to try to in some way, somehow, discredit this man's presidency. We want to make sure that there will be no others like him after he's gone. Your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, first, I don't really understand the question because it's obvious that they've been doing racist stuff for him for the longest. And what's amazing to me, and I was just having this conversation recently, what's amazing to me is that we can't get over the fact that there are some people who hate you because you're black, right? And so we go through life trying to revisit the fact that it's somebody being racist. The Republican Party has an issue with race, and I don't care what their issue is with gender, sex, or with all the other stuff. It's not my business. But I can tell you this. They have racist issues with black people generally. And Democrats do to some degree. That's why they won't address it. So when you watch things happen in this country, and I mean this across the board because it's just, not just a political issue, it's a systemic issue. When you look at, you know, court and trials and all that other stuff and see, you know, white juries still not convicting white folks for killing black folks kind of stuff, you need to understand that there's a systemic problem in this country about how we see race. It has, although they are very, they're venomous when it comes to the president. That is, in the words of Spike Lee, or I guess it was in Malcolm X when they said that's too much power for a black man. That probably
yeah.
plays out here really well. I mean, you can run that clip every time you say something about President Obama. Because John McCain got pretty racist, Hillary Clinton got pretty racist, and Mitt Romney got pretty racist. And Joe Lieberman got pretty racist when he was running, by the way, when President Obama was running and Joe Lieberman made those comments about President Obama, that's when the Vice President, Joe Biden, you know, lit into Lieberman. But those were all racist things.
What did he say, though, Jerome? What did he say? I forgot. What did he say, Joe Lieberman? I remember what some of the other senators.
You remember
said
what Biden said? Oh, well.
No, I don't. Remind me. I forgot. I mean, just for those who may not have ever heard those comments as well.
Well, okay, but I'll paraphrase it. But Joe Lieberman was bringing up the. I guess it was during the. It was during the 2008. I can't even think of when the election was. 2008 presidential election.
2008. 2000. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so Joe Lieberman, who was supporting John McCain at the time, was kind of a surrogate. They haven't picked their vice president yet on either side after they got the nomination. And Joe Lieberman was going on talk shows talking about the mentality or capacity, and he doesn't have this and that. And they were just flat statements on not just character of the president, because that wasn't it, but he was bringing up things like would he be president for all people kind of thing. And then he crossed the line, and I cannot think exactly what he said, but that's when Joe Biden came out and said that's bull, because it was, I mean, Joe Biden cursed, but he said that's bull because Joe Lieberman, who was in the Senate with Senator Obama at the time, knew that Joe Lieberman was doing a dog whistle thing. But I can't quote him, so I'm not going to say. I think
okay.
I know what he said, but I'm not going to quote him. But what
right,
he
we'll
did,
try to
though,
find it.
Yeah, and he was just going dog whistle stuff for racist people, because you have to remember early on,
you know, with Hillary Clinton and those guys just saying, you know, he got the black vote, or, Jesse Jackson won South Carolina too. That was a dog whistle to saying, yeah, he won it where it's a lot of black people, but will he get white folks' votes? Like, he was piggybacking off of what Clinton and those guys were saying, pretty much. And so I think Joe Biden, it struck a nerve with Joe Biden. And immediately, I have to tell you, when Joe Biden did that to Lieberman and said, I'll meet him in a Senate workout room, I said, he's going to be vice president.
You know, I don't remember him making those comments. That's interesting. I don't remember him saying that I'll meet him in the Senate workout room. Wow, interesting.
That's exactly when I said he's going to be vice president. Because when it became a race issue, Joe Biden stepped up, and I said, and then we found out like that Joe Biden and Floyd Little were good friends, and I said he needs Joe Biden. Joe Biden was going to cut anybody's head off who brought up race, and he did that. As soon as he did it, I said that's vice president.
Wow, interesting.
Exactly.
Yep. It's good stuff. 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online. Radio at its best. You can join the conversation, 347-850-1272. We're talking about Republicans hating the president, white Republicans. Here's the thing I don't get, Mr. Elias. You have black people who are actually trying to, in some way, somehow, black Republicans trying to justify the Republicans' positions when it comes to some of the things that are near and dear to our heart. And, you know, I almost find it laughable when they're saying, hey, just give the Republican Party a chance. Really? What chance am I going to give the Republican Party? I mean, it's ridiculous, if you ask me.
Well, Jay, let's call it what it is, man. One thing I can't admire about the Republicans, they stick together. They do. They don't care. Come hell or high water, they won't turn their back. They know damn well what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, and they won't point it out to each other. They'll sit there and say, well, he did this because of that. They always got an excuse for what their party did instead of saying it was dead wrong. It was just damn dead wrong what happened. Well,
but how can we say that about our people, though? That's the thing. You're saying they know what's right and what's wrong. How can we say that our people can support a party that really doesn't have any of our best people's interests in heart, any of our people's interests in heart? How can we say that our people know better? I just don't understand that statement.
Okay, well, okay, put it like this. How can poor white people support the Republican Party?
Well, you know, we're talking about that because it's race. That's why.
They don't have the best interest of you at heart at all. So the bottom line is, it's a party thing. You know, like when I hear Richard Steele talk about when he talks, I'm like, this guy's a clown. Or when I hear what Tavis Smiley talk, this guy's another clown. I mean, these people are just what they are. They're clowns. They're on there to make sweat off somebody else's back. To make money out of somebody else's back, and that's what they're doing, and that's all they're going to continue to do.
But Jerome, can we continue to call them clowns if there are African Americans out there who really and truly feel that the president is not addressing their issues? Are they clowns? I mean, or do they have a legitimate beef?
I don't know what to call them. Well, I can call them clowns because they are. I mean, I've done, you know, races for Republicans and run Republican campaigns, and I can tell you the black people who actually support the Republican Party, a lot of them that I bumped into, they're clowns. Like, the issue is that they are siding with, okay, and this is just my synopsis. This is my thought about why black people join the Republican Party. So what I've seen on the ground level in some pretty big campaigns is this. The black people who join Republican Party are usually there because they can't get any seniority in the Democratic Party. So they will leave the Democratic Party and be one of the very few black people and think that there's a privileged thing for them to be on the other side than it is to be with the Democrats. Right? There's no competition over there. So they think they have to kiss all of those folks' butt just so that they say, hey, you want to go to this $1,500 dinner, like, so they actually feel like they're part of the club. So it's a part of being co-opted and selling out. And I would say selling out in a way that is not anti-civil rights. I want to say it's more selfish right? They're not doing that to hurt black people. They're doing that to help themselves. So I don't think they think of it as, you know, the from the aspect of we are hurting black people. I think they just think that they're helping themselves. So I've been in situations, I think I did probably in the late 80s, this judge race. And the judge said to me, do you know Abraham Lincoln was Republican? And I said, mm-hmm, but I was young, right? And actually when he told me that and we talked about it, it did not move me because I realized you guys are not Abraham Lincoln, right? He was cool people, right? But that had nothing to do with the fact that there's a constant attempt to muddy the waters to say, hey, black people were over here too, blah, blah, blah. We want to take away all black people from social service and government jobs. Like, to be informed is to know that black people have equity in this country a little bit, especially in the South. They have it because of the government A8 programs, which means that you have to have so many contractors. So black people have been able to have businesses opposed to, with contracts, opposed to going in the private sector and competing out there. So as Congress started getting rid of, you know, the civil service jobs and stopped contracting and changing the rules on that, black businesses have suffered immensely, and we need to understand why we're suffering at a higher rate than everybody else. So even when they say it's not government's responsibilities, government is hiring private companies to do things, and if they can't hire black companies, we don't have money. So Republicans understand that lobbying against black people, they need black people to lobby against them, and they're using the selfish black people who think it's about them, they're using them to do it.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I was just about to bring up the example of one of our favorite fictitious families, the Banks. We all know that they were black Republicans, and we think the reason why, Mr. Ellis, is because they were rich. And, you know, the Republicans look out for rich people. So I don't know, and I'm glad you clarified that, Jerome. I don't think it's a situation where they think they're going against their own kind. It's just the fact that, you know, we tell people every day on this show or every week on this show that they need to vote, you know, vote their pocketbook, right? Vote what's going to help them. So how can we sit here and say that on one hand, but then get mad at black Republicans when they're voting for people who are looking out for their best interest, Ms. Elias?
Well, are they looking out for their best interest today?
Yeah, they're looking out for their pocketbooks.
Yeah, well, that's true, too, but still. I mean, I guess you can you can say that, man, but, wow, what's in the best interest for the country? When do we stop becoming so selfish that we can look out for what's in the best interest? I was having this conversation yesterday with somebody, and we were talking about Walmart. You know, when does corporate greed stop being, you know, the main thing that we worry about? I mean, that's a major concern is corporate greed. I'm one of the richest people in the world. I had the Walmart venue, and I can make $6 billion or I can make $5 billion. Hey, and I can help somebody out by giving that extra billion out. What would I do? Hell, if I'm greedy like the Walmart people are, I'm just going to keep on to making that extra $1 billion. You know, how much money is enough money? Is my question. How much money do you need in your pocket to have enough? How many billions is enough to where you can never see another family starve? And it's just corporate greed is just something that's ridiculous to me.
Jerome, sound like you wanted to try to respond to that question. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, my thought is this: the problem is that you are not white, right? And so what happens is that when you black people culturally are different, and I don't mean to digress on this one. But as I was watching the History Channel yesterday, because I do watch a lot of history and stuff, it's just kind of what I do. But as I was watching that, you realize that as a race, and I'm saying systemically, white folks have conquered because every other group is really nice to them, right? When the Indians could have let them die out during the cold winters, they helped them and fed them. And look what happened, right, when Native Americans did that. Black people are the same way. The reason that they keep systemic power is because we somehow help them contain maintain control to a large degree over governance, over our actions. And so when we become co-opted inside of the culture, we believe that white folks' interest is ours. So just because they're black, you know, even in Fresh Prince, you know, they were, you know, flower children, Vivian and Phillip Banks, right, that they marched in the 60s and they did all of this other stuff. But depending on what you want to do, you do have to pick a party, right? So in some areas you join the Republican Party because if you want to run for political office, the fastest way to the nomination in that particular county is Republican and the city is Democrat. So people pick them on based upon what their leverage is, what they want to do, not because they believe in the ideology of a particular party. So when black people, especially, I shouldn't say especially, but when you are picking a party socially, you're doing that to get influence. So if you're in business and you want access to the other business people, you may join their particular party, depending on what region you're in. So I wouldn't say that they're selling black people out for money per se, because culturally we don't really get down like that. It's just not in us to do that. We learn, that's learned behavior. They're turning a blind eye to everything more than they're saying, I'm affirmingly letting you hurt black people. I don't think they're doing that at all.
Well, okay. And, you know, listen, that may be the case. You know, I just look at the fact that, you know, I have some friends that are Republicans, and, you know, they try to argue the Republican agenda, and it falls upon deaf ears with me because there's nothing they can say that can justify the fact that you don't want to help people who are unemployed right now. There's nothing you can say that can justify that, you know, for people to have affordable health care. There's nothing you can say about that. But yet still you give these subsidies to these huge oil companies, but you don't want to do anything for the, you don't want to do anything to hurt the rich. There's nothing you can say to me that can convince me. And I tell people all the time, I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. I've voted for Republicans in the past just based on what their agenda was. But for me to sit here, for you to tell me this, I'm not buying what you're selling. So it is what it is. Mr. Elias, I'll give you the final thought on this set.
Well, my thought is this, man. I'm finally glad that the Republican Party came out and admitted to what, at least one of them came out and had enough guts to admit to what the agenda was. I mean, McConnell said it best when he came out and said, look, our agenda is to make this a one-term president. He should have been booted out of office at that point in time, because the agenda is not to make this a one-term president. Your agenda should be what's best for the American people, which is what your rally cry is all the time, American first. So, hey, that's just the way it is, man. That's the way it works in life.
Well said. Folks, we have an action-packed show for you this morning. A lot to cover in a very short period of time. Coming up next, we're going to talk about black preachers who are against the president. And the reason why they're against the president? Because of homosexuality. Should be a great conversation. It's Sunday morning. You're in tune to The Serious Side. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is your resident Map of the South, Mom's a Little Donna, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show. A show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show. A show for women, by women.
Within. I came back to let you know, got a thing.
As a Christian, and as a person who believes that the Bible has established clearly what marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman, and because the reality is that the saga of a nation is really the saga of its families writ large, and when you redefine the family other than what the Creator intended when He established it, then you're looking at the devolution of civilization.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our caller number. 347-850-1272. The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. It's 38 minutes after the hour. And once again, you're in tune to one of the best shows I would like to think on Sunday mornings. Let's say good morning to the panel again. To the smartest man in the world, my main man, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net on loan from there. Mr. Esprit, hello. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Of course, my right hand man, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Let's say good morning to a few people who may have tuned in, who are checked in with us this morning, Mr. L.E.S. Who do we have?
We have Covina, man, and Easy Rider, and we have a host of guests. And then Jerome is in there with us in the chat room.
All right. Good morning, guests. Good morning to our favorite listeners, Kavina Man and Easy, always present and accounted for every Sunday morning. We appreciate your support. I want to say good morning to a couple of people. Good morning to Barry Active. Good morning. How are you? Good morning to Scorpio. It's a pretty decent name there. Of course, we all know that these are handles, and people usually don't use their real names when they're out there on social media, but good morning to you nevertheless. Looks like our colleague Momo B is listening in. Good morning to you, Momo B. Glad you are in the house this morning. Hopefully we can, you know, give you some news that you can use. Also, good morning to Angie, Mary Kay, and good morning to Annette. We'll say good morning to more people as the morning progresses, but right now let's get back into the conversation. You heard the lead-in. A lot of African-American preachers are not happy with the president on his support for gay rights. And since this guy, Michael Sam, came out, the young man who played linebacker for the University of Missouri, came out and said he was gay, a lot of conversations have been going on about this. You know, we've had some conversations on the J. Ryle Show about this. Matter of fact, yesterday's show, if you are a listener of the J. Ryle Show, there was a very, I'm not going to say heated, exchange between us and our one of our co-hosts. If you don't listen to that show, we have a co-host on Saturday who's gay and really took offense to some of the things that happened on our Wednesday show. But this is a bigger issue, and I think the reason why I wanted to talk about this morning is because, you know, one of the things that Miss Terry is another person who appears on our show, she mentioned the fact that we had a caller who called into the show and he brought up the scriptures. And, you know, she took offense to that, and so did Ernest, who is the guy, that's the name of our co-host. So I wanted to talk about this morning, because who's right and who's wrong in this situation? Because you have some people who say, look, the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. And so what I want to do is I want to play a clip from two parts. First, I want to play a clip from Joel Osteen. You guys know who he is. He has one of the biggest churches in the country, and they're based right out of Houston, Texas. He was on Piers Morgan Tonight, and he was talking about this. I want you to take a listen to this, and we'll talk on the other side.
So, I suppose the obvious question is, we did that back in January. Has your position changed at all after that? Because it raised a lot of headlines, a lot of controversy. Since then, more states have endorsed same-sex marriage. It's becoming much less of a prohibitive kind of issue than it used to be. What's your view now?
You know, Piers, it really never changes, because mine's based out of the Scripture. That's what I believe, that the Scripture says, that homosexuality is a sin. So, you know, I believed it before, and I still believe it now. Again, I would just reiterate what I said. I'm not mad at anybody. I don't dislike anybody, but, you know, respecting my faith and believing, you know, in what the Scripture says, that's the best way I can interpret it.
But, I mean, shouldn't the Scripture be dragged kicking and screaming into the modern age? I mean, we were talking before the break about the issue about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Not everything in the Scriptures, really, is, in my view, conducive to modern life. I mean, like everything else, doesn't it have to move with the times? And isn't it down, again, to people like you to interpret it in a way that evolves? I mean, you're known as a very progressive preacher.
Sure. Well, we want to be progressive, but sometimes I just, when I read it, I can't see how you would change that, just like you wouldn't, you know, change some other main things, you know, in the Scripture. I don't see how that, you know, if you don't have a basis of truth, and that's what I base mine off of, the Scripture, everybody else doesn't, and I don't fault them if they don't. But this is just the way I choose to live my life and what I teach based out of the Scripture. So I don't think, you know, I think, you know, personally, 200 years from now, the Scripture is still going to say that.
Yes, but the law of the land may not, and it may not in your state. I mean, the law of the land is changing fast. And, you know, your argument about executions was, well, it's the law of the land in somewhere like Texas. But what if Texas eventually, and at the moment it's an unlikely place, I'd imagine, to bring this in, but it may change with enough pressure. Texas brings in a law that same-sex marriage is permissible. How would you feel then if it's the law of the land?
Well, you know what, I'm going to respect the law, and I'm going to respect gay people like I do now. You know, have plenty of people that come to our church and friends, I would call, that are gay, so I'm going to respect that. I think where it puts a difficult situation is me being a Christian pastor, believing the Scripture, you know, it'd be against my faith to marry two gay people.
You could never do that.
No, it would be against what I believe the Scripture teaches. And so that's where I think the rub comes in of people like myself. It's not that I'm against anybody or, You know, if people want to live together, that's up to them. But my faith, when we say marriage, I mean, I think about Peter's, all through the Bible, there's, you know, hundreds of marriages, but none of them are shown as between, you know, the same sex. And again, I'm not against anything, but I just believe that's what the Bible teaches, and that's how we've chosen to live.
So you feel a bit uneasy. The sort of the last person I heard speaking like this was Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He's a president of Iran, who says there are no gay people in Iran, and it's a terrible sin and curse. I mean, Tori, what do you think of all this, the gay marriage debate? I mean, could you ever imagine attending a gay marriage between two people who come to your church, for example, if they invited you?
Well, I think if it was that easy, then we would have figured it out by now. But it's been overthrown. States go for it, and then they overthrow
well,
it. And it's very difficult for people.
But accepting an invitation is easy. So would you accept one or not?
Would I accept one?
Two gay people who attend your church invite you to their wedding.
Sure, I would go.
You would?
Well, I don't, you know, if
so,
I had time,
could you go?
I would.
If they were friends of mine and I respect them, I would certainly go.
You would watch two people you think are sinners committing the ultimate sin.
Well, I'm looking at it, I don't think it's the ultimate sin, but I'm looking at it from another point of view of respect to that person. And, you know, it's, you know, it gets convoluted, but I'm looking at it as respect to that person.
Could you, in your position, actually actively encourage people to go through a same-sex marriage? Could you be seen to do it? Could you be photographed at such an event?
Well, I would not.
Would that not cause you problems?
Well, you know, it's such a hypothetical, and I'm talking
about... Well, not really, because you said lots of gay people go to your church, so it might happen.
Well, I haven't been to many weddings lately to begin with, but I'm talking about somebody that was, you know, dear to us. I'm not going to disrespect somebody that's dear to us and say, you know what, you're not good enough for us or something like that. That's the way I would see it. Now, I'm not going to just run off and go to attend, you know, certain marriages just to make a statement, because that's not who I am and that's not what I stand for. And again, I don't look down on those people.
Very interesting conversation when you listen to the back and forth between Pierce and Joel Osteen. Let's open the conversation up with you, Jerome. You know, people were really upset at some of the comments that I had made on the other show. I'm not sure if you heard the comments. But, you know, to me, when you look at this thing, people who are religious, people who are saying, look, I'm a Christian. This is against what the Bible preaches. You know, how am I wrong for obeying my faith? So if that's the case, if a person's a Christian, Jerome, and they feel this way about this particular topic, then why are they frowned upon by a lot of people in society saying, oh, my God, you shouldn't be saying this. That's a mean thing to say. Really?
We shouldn't say what?
Well, they were saying people who are gay people will go to hell. They will die. They should be stoned. If you read some of the scriptures in the Bible, it's very, it says, look, this is a sin, period.
And so here's the thing, and you know, I won't qualify it. The trick in life generally, right, especially when you have religious freedom, is to leave the doggone religion alone. Right. If that's what they practice, or if that's what they see in their religious beliefs, who are you to go change their religion because it benefits you? Right. So
that's a good point.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And I have to say, from a personal experience, someone who is a friend of mine, and I consider a friend, is asked me that question. Who is gay? Asked a couple of years ago, whatever church they went to said that they had an issue with the pastor not marrying gay people. And you know what I said to them? And I like them. I said, go to another church. The issue of saying to somebody, you have to cater to me because of, is dead wrong. You have no right to change anybody's religion. And that's what our religious freedoms are in this country. If you're going to be free, be free. You get to be who you are and not have anybody harass you for your orientation. You have people being able to be Jewish or be Buddhist or whatever religion that they want to be. You have them, that freedom in the country. You have people free to do a lot of things, but you're telling me that you want to go tell other people how to act inside of their house is crazy. And just like I didn't really enjoy that particular interaction with Joel Osteen, but I actually have a lot of respect for him now. I didn't really listen to him prior, but I think Piers Morgan is a jerk generally, but his interviewing style was kind of a got you to Osteen. All he's saying is, this is what it says, and I stick to this, but I am not treating anybody different because my religious belief is one way or another. My humanity tells me that everybody deserves to be here, and we can't even live with that, right? So should his answer be, we should just get rid of Christianity? Like, that can't be an answer. So you're just setting him up to say either, A, you don't like your religion, and I'm going to do something different. But technically, spiritually, we have respect for our humanity of all people. We don't. We shouldn't be dissecting them anyway. And if you don't believe in what the Bible says, don't go to church. You can't go to somebody's church and tell them how to interpret, do their pastor. That's nuts.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that people have strong opinions on this. And you know, the bottom line is that, and I think, let me just kind of, for those who don't listen to the J-Rock Show, one of the questions that we had at the time was, would you feel uncomfortable undressing in front of a homosexual? And people, you know, listen, if you listen to that show, you know, it's satire, you know, we have fun, it's comedy. We're serious, but we're semi-serious because it's all about having a good laugh. And, you know, our colleague said that we really offended him. He was hurt by the comments. And, you know, he said that people who are uncomfortable undressing in front of homosexuals are ignorant, and they just don't understand. And you know, so we kind of had a back and forth. I'm not going to relive that here on this show. If you want to hear the whole context of that, you can go listen to yesterday's edition of the J. Ryle Show. But it got me to thinking, because, once again, people were upset because of the fact that, you know, the Bible was brought into this. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, Mr. Elias, how can we get upset behind that, right? I mean, how can we really and truly get upset if people are saying this is what the Word of God says and you teach people to follow what the Bible says? How can you get mad at them for saying, look, you're headed to hell if you continue this lifestyle?
Okay, Jay, I'll put it to you like this. What sin is greater than the other one? We all fall short to the glory of God, so we all are sinners, so there's no one sin greater than the other. Hell, we got people that overeat, they're gluttony. You know, you got people who curse all the time. You have people who do a lot of sin in the world. So we'll look at one sin and say, hey, this sin is much worse than the other sin. Then all of us should be going to hell. All of us should go to hell then.
What we're telling people
is that okay, it's okay to be an adulteress, but it's not okay to be a homosexual.
Well, I don't think that's what we're telling people, Mr. Elias.
Why isn't it?
No, listen. Let me say this. Well, according to the word, you're gonna burn hell if you commit sin. Yeah, but according to the word of God, But according to the Word of God, listen, if you are a Christian, if you know no one sin is greater than the other. I'm not telling people they should go out and be adulterous and stuff like that. I guess I'm not following where you're going with this point.
And I'm not also telling people I shouldn't be judging either, at least not be judged now. So, I mean, you know, you want to quote Bible scripture to me when it's right for this and not right for that? I mean, come on, man. I mean, if you are going to be a true Christian, you shouldn't be judging anybody. That's what the Christians, to me, that's what the Christians go wrong at. I'm not judging you for what or who what you do. That's your business. I'm worried about my way in heaven.
But wait a minute. But if but also the Bible tells us to bear witness. If you are doing what the Bible says, bear witness. If the Word of God says that, why is it so wrong for someone to say, look, this is what the Word of God says, whether you're an adulteress, whether you steal, whether you are homosexual, this is what's going to happen to you if you believe the Word of God. How can we get mad at people for really, look, this is what I believe, this is what I confess?
You confess it, Jay, but what you're telling me is that it's so you're quoting what the Bible says. It says don't judge anybody. You don't judge nobody. You're not judging.
They're not in a position to judge them. Only God can judge them.
But you are judging me when you tell me that, okay, you're going to burn the pits of hell if you're homosexual. You'll burn the pitch in hell.
I don't get how that's judging. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Okay. I don't get how that's judging a person, but maybe it's me.
Okay, let me break it down separately to you.
Okay.
If you know one of your partners was an adulteress, what would you say
right.
to him? What would you say?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the context of the conversation, but
okay.
give me some more variables, and I'll try to fill in the blanks for you.
Okay, say me and you are having a conversation. I've gotten married, and I just did something with this girl, man. Ooh, and I wish I hadn't, but hey, it happened. Will you tell me, man, you're gonna burn the pits of hell for that?
I'm not a preacher. I probably wouldn't say that to you, but I'm pretty sure if you go talk to a minister, and the minister or a person that's very religious may come to you and say, hey, look, you know, That's wrong. You're committing adultery. That's a sin. I'm a bad example because I'm a sinner, and Lord knows I am.
Nobody's not a sinner, Jay. There's not one person on this earth that has not sinned. That's my point. There's not a preacher, teacher, anybody. All of us sin, and there's no one sin greater than the other one. So when these pastors get out here and talk about you're going to burn in a pit of hell, then they should look in their own closets. They should look in their own closets.
But
homosexuality is wrong. So is taking these people money and buying these big planes and these extravagant houses. That's wrong too. Come on, man. Look,
that's right.
Okay.
Gluttony is a sin.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You buy $33,000 toilets, man. You got a passage by the $33,000 course, and her parishioners can't afford food, but yet still homosexuality.
But Miss Elias, she has. That's between her and God. You're doing the exact same thing that you're criticizing them doing. You're judging them.
I'm not judging them, Jay. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying don't be a hypocrite.
You just said it was wrong.
What I'm saying is that the fact is, you know, no one sin is greater than no. I'm not judging her. I'm not saying
we've established that.
What I'm saying is that, hey, look, you're sitting here judging people, but you got your own house. I'm worried about my own house, Jay. I'm not worried about nobody else's house. And that's the end of it. I don't care about whether she buys this stuff. I saw it on the news. Hey, look, you bought that. God bless you. Move on. I'm worried about my way in. I'm not worried about what nobody else is doing. And for them to sit there and be these moral leaders and come out and say, hey, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. You're preaching the word of God. The word of God is just that. You're preaching the word of God. You shouldn't be pointing your finger and saying, you're going to burn the pit to hell? Really?
Well,
you going to tell somebody that?
Well,
that's wrong,
I,
man.
I think that people, like as a pastor, as a leader of a church, You can do that. Like, I believe that you can. So what happens is that if that is your interpretation, right, because you're supposed to be led, if that's your interpretation,
right,
that's fine. But if you are saying that outside of the people who go to church, then you're wrong because you can't judge externally. So if you say, hey, inside of this particular organization, here's our rules and regulations and here's how we see it, then you have a choice to either join it or not. But technically, you can say that if that's what you believe, but technically you cannot, well, I'm sorry, you should not judge anyone for whatever their actions are. So on both sides of this, well, I don't really play, you know, being nice one way or another, but to understand that even in the interview where Osteen was talking about this and saying, this is what my religious teachings tells me, and I can't fluctuate from that. I think he's absolutely within his rights, and he's right to do that. All he said was, we are not going to persecute you for being one way or another. We're not going to persecute you for being an adulteress. You can always come to God. If we're not going to persecute you for gluttony, you can always come to God. They're not picking apart sins by saying that sin is greater than any other. They're just saying it is, and let's move from there. But technically, you can't tell anybody what to do. So the part of the non-judgmental part of it is controlling your own vices and controlling whatever it is that you do. It should be a part of your individual. It should be a part of your individual walk, opposed to this massive brainwashing of cultism to say what everybody should be doing. Who cares what that is? We're in a free society. We're supposed to be free in this country anyway.
Absolutely. Here's an exchange with CNN's Soledad O'Brien and Pastor Tony Evans. We'll talk on the other side, and we'll get out to the phone calls. Hold on, caller. We'll get you in after this comment, after this bit. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tony Evans is a senior pastor at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, and he joins us this morning. Nice to see you, sir. Thanks for being with us. Certainly appreciate it. What was your reaction to the president's announcement?
Well, I was disappointed. As a Christian, and as a person who believes that the Bible has established clearly what marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman, and because the reality is that the saga of a nation is really the saga of its families written large. And when you redefine the family other than what the Creator intended when he established it, then you're looking at the devolution of civilization. Separation of church and state should never mean separation of God and right. And since government is supposed to be an agency of God, and since the nation was established based on a theistic frame of reference, God should not be marginalized and put on the sideline. His authority should not be negated, and we should not take human institutions that he established, which includes government, and the foundation is the family, and redefine it at our own whim. Civil rights is not an issue here. Biblical justice is the equitable application of God's moral law in society. When you talk about racial civil rights and combine that to the redefinition of the family, God has to have a say-so on both issues.
He's spoken on both issues clearly. Far be it for me to ever argue with a pastor about God, so I'll just preface this, what I'm about to say to you, sir. But why not leave it up to God, right? At the end of the day, you could sort of leave it all up to God, and you could say under the laws of the country, we aim for equal protection and equal rights under the law. For example, I would say, you know, the institution of marriage has changed over time. I mean, I was having this debate with Tony Perkins this morning. The institution has changed a lot over time. For women's rights, certainly, for, as you well know, rights of slaves to get married, as you well know, rights of blacks and whites to get married. So it's changed a lot. Why not leave it up to God and let man get out of it?
Because God has established what man is supposed to do, and he expects man to do it his way, not a way independently of him. And when you do things independently of him, you bear consequences that you don't want to bear. And so God is not just some ethereal spirit up there that is uninvolved. He is involved through his systems that he's established. Government is one of those systems, and government is to respect his rule, not ignore it. Because the family is the foundational institution upon which all other institutions are dependent for their ability to function properly, this issue needs to be addressed. What I don't do across my pulpit is endorse candidates. I deal with issues. So I go through all the issues, and I tell our congregation what God says about all the issues, and then I let them go into the voting booth and cast their vote.
So then you personally, would you personally say, listen, I disagree, I will not vote for President Obama?
I will personally say I disagree. When I get in the voting booth, then I'll cast my vote.
Like the way he said that towards the end, I would personally disagree, but when I get in the, and of course that's an old clip, but it's interesting that he wouldn't go as far as to say that he wouldn't endorse the president, but he just said he disagrees on the president's stance with some of the things in regards to gay and same-sex marriage. Let's bring in one of our old colleagues. He's calling in this morning, Steve from Indianapolis. Good morning, Steve. What's your comment on this particular topic?
Good morning, everyone. And,
good morning, Steve.
You know, my comment is, Jay, and Mr. Elias, please understand what condemning means. Because Jesus clearly did this all over the Bible. Paul, everybody. If you're in my church and I find out that you're Michael Dunn and you and Ben, that you have killed this boy over loud music, I can condemn you. I can slam you. I find out you're gay, I can condemn you. I can slam you because you're in my church. You're in my domain. I have rule. I run this. And I'm going to say whatever I want to say, because that is freedom of religion. So Jerome is right on that. You don't like it? Go to some other church. I find out you killed a boy with a loud music. You must repent or you go into, it's that simple. You repent or you go into hell. It's that simple. It's clearly written about murder. So okay, you say, okay, well, all have fallen short. Repent means to turn away from, not to go back to. See, a lot of people haven't repented don't understand that they haven't fully repented, but they think they repented. Just because you repent doesn't mean you can repent. And it talks about in the day of judgment, men are going to look at God as being a terrorist. That's in the Bible. They're going to have terror when judgment comes down on them. They're going to look at God as being a terrorist, and there ain't going to be nothing they can do about it. I don't care how many military armies they have. There can be nothing they can do about it, because when they were on earth, they had a chance, and they just went on to deal what they want to do. But if you're in my church, you're in my domain, I'm going to say whatever I want to say to you, whatever God leads me to say to you. I don't believe in watching porn. I don't like to see women degrade themselves. That's me. I'm not going to knock on every man's door, hundreds of millions of men watching porn all the time. I don't know. That's me. That's what I believe. I don't want to do that. I don't want to mess my brain up towards the way I think about women. So what is your comment about that?
Well, you know, let's talk about that. And, Steve, thank you so much for calling in. I think he's right. And, you know, Mr. Elias, and I'm not trying to say this to be against you, because you know how I feel about you. I just feel, man, that people are going to form their opinions based on the way they were either raised, based on their religion, and so forth. And for us to sit here and say, well, you're wrong for saying that to that type of person, I think that's out of bounds. I think that we're doing basically the same thing that we're condemning them for, because you're saying to them they have no right to judge them, and you know, then you kind of went down that avenue of people, you know, getting money for church and all this other stuff. Apparently, you've formed an opinion on these types of things, and that's your opinion. Great, that's what you need to be able to do. But to sit here and say that if a person says, "Look, you're gay, you're going to die, you're going to burn in hell, you know, this is not what I believe in, I can't support that," they're not wrong in my opinion if that's what they want to say to people, especially if they're trying to minister to them. That's all I'm saying.
Hmm. Really?
I like that response.
You got this, what you're wrong, you won't be getting it.
I wanted to write this down, because it sounded like Jerome agreed with me. I almost fell out of my chair when Jerome said, "Wait a minute, do this." I almost like, whoa, let me write this day down.
Wait, I don't think y'all hear what Elias is saying though, because I agree with Elias. Like, I understand what you're saying, Jay, because I'm saying you can say whatever you want. The part of the judgment part of somebody else is totally kind of off the grid. Who cares, right? It's like saying, you know, back in the days when they were like, people have too dark a tent and we need to see who's coming down our street. I thought that was just crazy, right? People had a tent law because they couldn't see you driving your car. That's nuts. Like, we get so entrenched in the minding other people's business that we don't even mind our own. So when it's starting to get to a point where we need to kind of pull back on that and say, hey, religion has their own duty and obligation to kind of regulate what they do inside their religion, and you just can't walk into somebody's church and say that you can dictate what they can and cannot do. So when a pastor says, this is a sin, this is the way I see it, the only thing you can really do is say, I'm not going to your church. Don't pay tithes. It's like, don't go.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Right. Well, I tell you, you have a right to say it.
But it's true. That's true. I'm starting to think maybe we should get Steve back in here to help me out here a little bit. My goodness. All right, folks. Look, that's going to have to be the last word on this particular set. Coming up next, something we're kind of giggling, but something that's not very funny. Michael Dunn. He was convicted yesterday, but he was convicted for all the wrong things. We'll talk about it. It's the serious side. It's Sunday morning. We'll be right back.
My best friend's sister, she had a lot of friends, just not enough time. So she got really good at texting while driving. I mean, she was amazing. But ever since the accident, everything has changed. She still has a lot of friends, but now she has no time. Texting while driving, it's dumb and it's deadly.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Talking Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, Map of the South, Mom Little Donna.
Good Sunday morning to you folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
We have verdicts in counts 2, 3, 4, and 5. I have the verdict form in count 1. There are no markings on it, but I will provide it to the clerk for the record. and based on the jury's inability to reach a verdict as to count one, I would declare that mistried, and we will talk about how we will proceed with regard to that in a moment.
Is our caller number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Sunday edition of the Jay Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Let's say good morning to a few more people. First of all, let's say good morning to our panelists again, one last time. Good morning to Jerome Spree. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jay.
And, of course, good morning to the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
And let's say good morning to a few more people. I want to say good morning to Sherry M. Hello from Fort Worth, Texas. Thank you so much. Lovely one. Hadn't heard or seen from you in a while. Germantown, Maryland, good morning. Amy G., Houston, Texas, good morning. And Angela B. from Millbrook, Alabama, welcome in. Mr. Elias, can we say hello to some new people in the chat, or do we still have the same characters in the chat room?
We're very lovely. Marianna Music has joined us, and on the phone line, of course, we have the very lovely Momo B and the very lovely Vanessa with us this morning.
Oh, Vanessa turned this morning as well. Good morning to one and all. And once again, you can be a part of it. All you have to do is call us, 347-850-1272. Don't forget now, coming up in about 45 minutes, it's on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Spree. That's going to be fun. And don't forget, you can participate if you're listening anywhere on the Internet. You can participate in our chatterbox segment that comes on immediately after. Before we go, a quick look at stories that made headlines this past week. Well, one of the big stories that made headlines this past week was the verdict of Michael Dunn. It happened while we were on the air live yesterday, so we took the verdict live. And he was convicted for two counts, two, three, four, and five. So he was convicted four out of the five counts. But the one count that he wasn't convicted for, and I'll start the conversation off with you, Mr. Elias. The one count that he wasn't convicted for was first-degree murder of Jordan Davis. So let's start the conversation right there. Who won in this case? Did anyone win in this case, in this situation? How do you feel about what took place in the Florida courtroom yesterday?
No, I mean, you know, the first thing he should have been convicted of was murder, man, because that's what it was murder. You know, I mean, of course, they got him on the 2, 3, 4, and 5 count, but man, it first-degree murder should have been it. It was pretty simplistic that this guy went to his glove box, pulls out his gun, and then shoots this kid. You know, shoots 8 times into a SUV that's going away from you. There's not even, I could see the SUV was going towards him, but they were trying to get away from this guy. And one of the prosecutors said it best. If you didn't like their music and you were parked next to them, you should have took your butt down and moved somewhere else. You know, that's what should have happened. That's the basic thing that should have happened.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me go to you, Jerome. What do you think about this thing, man? Should we be satisfied with the outcome of that trial?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about this because my thought about this country has a lot more to do with our systemic problem about convicting white folks for killing black folks. We just don't do it. So it's, the irony is you can get second-degree murder charges on attempted murder with no problem, but even in the act of attempted murder, killing somebody won't get you murder one. That is amazing that they had to debate that. That is truly amazing. How can you attempt to murder everybody else in the car, but when you kill somebody, that wasn't murder? Like, that is amazing. So I don't know what to say about it, but it goes back to our systemic how our brain works, our psychology when it comes to convicting people of killing black folks, because they can always claim that I was scared for my life, they were thugs, and that sells to white jurors. I don't know the makeup of the jury, but I can tell you if there was three white folks on there, it got hung on that first degree murder. Because of that, there is something in our psyche that says that yes, his reasoning was valid because I watched the same brainwashing stuff on TV anyway, and my thought about black people is this. So since he said something, I can shoot him, but everybody else was innocent victims. Like, that psyche is crazy, and we won't get over this. We won't get over this as a society until black folks realize or just have a mere understanding that there's no fairness or justice in the justice system when it comes to black-white issues. We got to get over it, and we need to either change it or not feel some kind of way about that happening. Our expectations of them should be lowered opposed to us believing that there's some kind of fairness, because that is just ridiculous. I mean, Trayvon Martin should have told us that. We're watching the same prosecutor go through with the same smirk on her face going, you know, we put it out there and we're going to go at this vigorously. They don't have that hard a time convicting black people of jack. Ever.
You know, I am so livid behind this. And, you know, listen, I hear the fact that the point is he's in jail, Jay. That's not the damn point. That's not the point at all, Mr. Elias. The point is that what are we saying to our black teenagers out there? That their life is not worth anything, that anybody can claim self-defense or they were scared of you, they can pull out a pistol and shoot you and there's no repercussions. Yeah, he's going to jail, but he's going to jail because he tried to kill three teens who happen to be alive right now. The one that he killed, right. It was a mistrial. A mistrial? Yeah. How can it be a mistrial when you shoot eight times into a vehicle? Then, not only if you were so nervous and so scared, why didn't you call the police? You drove 100-some miles, I think that's what the reports say, and sat down in a hotel room and had a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were shooting a stray dog. Are you serious?
Right.
Is this the country that we live in? I'm appalled at this.
Michael Vick got more time, you know they
for killing a damn dog, for killing dogs.
Right, right. Then they did the black human being, man. This is the society we live in.
And believe it or not, there are people who still. And I'm a huge Michael Vick fan, and I don't want to get off the topic here, but I have to say this: that there are people out there right now who thinks Michael Vick should be put to death for what he did to those dogs. He was supposed to go and speak at an event in Raleigh, North Carolina. The people that responded to that, I think they're nuts and crazy. How they're saying that he's a convicted felon, he's this, he's that, he's all these things, but yet and still this white guy can shoot and kill an unarmed black teenager and not be convicted of it. What does this say about our country, folks? Are you kidding me? 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. You can get in on this conversation, 347-850-1272. Let's bring in Vanessa. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Jay. I've been listening to the show all morning, and it is fabulous. I do apologize for calling in on my iPhone, cricket phone. But anyway, to make a comment, this is the country that we live in, and it is unfortunate. But you know what? Our young black children, including my daughter and her friends, need to remember that black people cannot get away with what white people can get away with. And just the fact that we did get a verdict that will put him in prison and hopefully consecutive years, but he'll never get out, you know, and he's in Florida, I'm happy with what we got, because there's been so many people killed, like the man drove with the truck, like the little black boy rolled up in the rug and they never found out what happened to him, like the little boy Trayvon. Nothing happened to those people. So I'm sorry to say, Jay, but I will take what I can get, which is a verdict against that man. I'll just take what I can get, because there's been times that people have been walking away and nothing has happened to them. So I'll take this.
All right, sweetheart. You know, we appreciate you. We love you. And we're glad that you're a part of what we do. And you are a part of our family, whether you like it or not. Thank you so much for your comments. You know, let me ask you something, Jerome. Let me go to you, because this is something that we talk about all the time on the show, that we as African Americans are programmed so to the point where we're happy just the fact that at least we got something. and we should be happy with the fact that we had something. Now, let me say this about that whole situation. Now, according to reports, the state of Florida will retry the case on first-degree murder. And you know what? And I'm glad that they're doing that. Some people are saying why he's been convicted, you know. And to answer Vanessa's questions, to answer the question about the sentences running concurrently, they will run concurrently. So there's no way he's going to get out of jail. But my point is, I'm glad that they're going to retry it, Jerome, and I'm glad they're going to do it because to me, this sends out a signal to our African American young men saying, look, we're not going to let them get away with it, even though this may be, you know. How many years can you give one person? 60 years, at his age, he's going to die in prison, but that's not the point. Someone needs to pay for killing a young, unarmed black teenager. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't go against my folks generally. Like, not at all. Because we have a right to have satisfaction in what we have satisfaction in. So when I hear, you know, people say things like, you know, we can get what we can get. I agree with that. But that is our job. The people in our age range, it is our job to fall on the sword on this stuff, right? There is a time to check out, and there's a time to be safe. And when our elders say, hey, you know what, we need to get what we can get, but the people between the youth and our elders need to take a stand. We need to do something. Right? And so there's always a time that we need to call it foul when it's foul. We need to say, look, we need to change law. We need to do something. But for a temporary satisfaction that man's not getting out of jail, okay, fine. But Jeffrey Dahmer got killed in jail after he ate all those black folks. So the trick is that, yeah, you don't have no protection when you get in jail if somebody leaves you in a long period of time. But at the same time, there is no justice in that. When we are getting convicted, people get convicted for first-degree murder for being with somebody who killed somebody else. Like,
right.
We don't
exactly.
Even talk about that part.
Exactly, Jerome. Exactly.
Right. And so the Black Panther, I cannot remember her name, sorry, but she writes that weekly column from Cuba. She escaped out of New Jersey because her boyfriend was killed in a shootout with policemen, and they convicted her for life in prison in New Jersey because she was with him. And that's why she's in Cuba, and they won't extradite her. Because this system is just, it's jacked when it comes to black people. We are just sacrificed beyond belief every time it comes down to fairness when it comes to that system generally. So we're sacrificed, but I can understand why there's some, you know, an estimation of about 60 years for this guy. He hasn't been sentenced yet, so we don't know if it's going to be concurrent. We don't know till the sentencing. So if he gets a different sentencing judge, he just convicted yesterday. So when he gets sentenced, if that judge finds leniency, like the guy who raped the girl and they let him off, and they do that because white folks, I think, generally, whether they know this or not, when you go to court, if you go to court and that judge, you remind them of their niece or nephew or cousin, they are lenient towards you. They ain't lenient towards us because we don't look like them. We're not relatives of theirs, and that's why I always prefer, and I say this all the time, never be mad at anybody black who works in corporate, who works at your local grocery store. At least they have some kind of relationship to you because it is exactly how the justice system works when they have no kinship to you. All they believe is the marketing. They are just criminals, thugs, this, that, this, and that, and it goes to the point of why I always yell and argue about us being so hard on black folks, because white folks are not hard on white folks at all. So we get the brunt of the marketing that black folks are inherently bad because it benefits them and their psychosis and how they think of us as human beings to begin with as harmful. So this guy, regardless, showed no remorse. His girlfriend testified she wouldn't even lie for him, his fiance. She wouldn't even lie for him and said that he had intent, and he didn't mention it to her. He wasn't scared. He didn't say jack to her. That goes to his mentality, and they still didn't convict him. Everybody should be mad at that.
It's just one of these things that's fascinating when you think about where we are as a society and, you know, what day and age we live in for this type of stuff to happen. And Jerome brought up an excellent point, Mr. Elias, the fact that we watch a lot of this, the first 48 and stuff like that. They're always convicting people. Even if you're there, you get first-degree murder charges. If you didn't have to pull the trigger, but, you know, the state of Texas or the state of Alabama or the state of whatever says that if you're right there while this person committed a crime, you can be tried for first-degree murder and be charged. And here's a guy who, once again, shoots into a car full of unarmed teenagers and because they were playing their music too loud. And once again, and I watched some of his testimony, and it was pathetic, some of the things he was saying. You know, maybe they had a gun. And the look on his face, it looked as if, hey, you know what, this is what I always wanted to do. I wanted to shoot a black guy and get away with it. So what? I'm going to prison. Oh, we. I am so pissed off, Ms. Delius, behind this. I just don't know what to say. And it's just a bad day to be an American, as far as I'm concerned, when you live in a country that people can do this type of stuff and get away with it.
Well, it's not only there. It's any and everywhere, man. It's an assault. Right now it's an assault on, you know, on black America, man. I mean, think about the guy in Florida that was going to his mother's car, and the police shot him. Police shot him for going to his mother's car, saying he was trying to break into his mother's car, and he had keys to his car, to her car.
I didn't hear about that case. It's an assault, and
it's just the tip of the iceberg. How many cases don't we hear about that haven't been out there like this? You know, it's bad. And then the thing that always gets me is what Jerome, you know, says is that they're not going after the person that's on trial. They're trying to assassinate the person that they kill's character, like Trayvon. Oh, Trayvon, he was this, he was that. I don't give a damn. Just like they said in the first 48, that cat might have been a drug dealer. He might have been this, he might have been that. But the person that killed him had no right to kill him. And that's where we're at right now in society, man. They don't care. They just want to kill people and come up with some feeble excuse of why they killed somebody. You can't take nobody's life, man, unless they're trying to commit bodily harm to you. What do those kids do wrong besides play loud music? What did they do wrong? Same thing I did as a kid. I played my music loud. You know, but hey, man, look, you know, it's a different world we live in now than when I was a kid, and I understand that. But the bottom line is, you know, just to take that child's life like that, that was unbelievable, man.
It was just something that in my opinion, I don't know, man. I'm just so disgusted with what's going on. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I feel worse about this than I did the Trayvon Martin situation. I mean, I know you're not supposed to, you know, both of them were pretty much the same. I feel worse about this situation than the Trayvon Martin situation, okay? And, you know, people may ask me why. Look, I'll explain it. Despite the fact that I think George Zimmerman is a racist bastard, he should be rotten in prison right now. His defense was that he got attacked. And, you know, there are, even though they're ridiculous, there are some wounds on this man. You know, listen, we've talked about that all during the trial. Everybody knows how I feel about that crap. But the bottom line is that there is evidence of a struggle, okay? In this situation, there was no evidence of a struggle. This is a guy who got out of his vehicle and walked towards the vehicle and started shooting at these guys because somebody must have told him to go somewhere and jump off a bridge. He got pissed off, and he started shooting at these kids. I feel worse about this situation than I do the Trayvon Martin situation. The only reason why this guy is going to jail is because there were other kids in the car. Think about this for a second. Let's say that kid was in there by himself. Do you think he would have got away with this? Think about that for a second. Do you think he would have gotten away with this? Let's say that young Jordan Davis was in the car by himself, right? Do you think he would have got away with it, Jerome?
Yep, he sure would have. That's my point. Anytime your word is against any white person, it's like I've had old ladies be really nasty to people, and then when the police come around, they act like they was crying. And the guy goes, all right, just move along. She's an old lady. I'm like, she was just cussing this fool out about 10 minutes ago. Like, any time they play that card on a one-on-one basis, you are going to lose. And I think I told this story on the show before where I saw this policeman just walk up on this teenage black kid because there was a car accident. The white folks ran, tried to run, and he stopped them. And then by the time the police gets there, the policeman was in the black kid's face cursing him out. And so he didn't see me. So when I said to the policeman, why are you yelling at him when you cursed at him first? And the policeman would not turn his badge, you know, towards me so that I could see who he was. But what he did was walk away backwards from the black kid and tell him, go get in your car, get out of here before I arrest you. He totally protected all the white folks, even though that was the only black person there. They charged the black dude up. Like, this happens all the time, and I am telling you, it's a part of the psychosis of our makeup in this country to be programmed to believe that black people have thugs, violence, and white folks can just generally be in fear of their lives. So they become brave and heroes, and then when other white folks come around, they act like they are victims. And so that is what that dude did, and that's why it's hard to convict people when it's one-on-one, a black person against a white person. I would be interested to know a case where a black person's word and a white person's word was up against each other and the black person won. I'd be truly amazed.
Right. And keep looking for
there's
that.
There's a case in Los Angeles where this guy was on a judicial review board. He was a politician. He got pulled over by a UCLA cop. Like a rent-a-cop primarily, and he called the regular police. They threw him in handcuffs for something he didn't even do, and he didn't even press charges as a black dude. He had governance over with a relationship to the police chief, and he didn't. He said, well, maybe they made a mistake. They roughed that dude up just because the rent-a-cop said, I think he might have had something in his car, and he had heart medicine. He said, I thought it was drugs. Right,
well,
we know MC Hammer got jacked up by a rental cop. I did that one on the show probably a couple of months ago, where a rental cop said, "Well, move this car along," and you know Hammer says something to him. They called the police and arrested Hammer. They do that for I don't care what level on the totem pole you are as a white person, but I guarantee your word is twice as good as a black person when another white person comes on the scene. They go, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" And that's how that happens. I am sorry to say that that's true, but we need to understand that. And I'm not saying what our solution is to it. I'm just saying that that is very real.
Yeah. Like Fruitvale, I don't know if you've seen Fruitvale Station, man. That was, wow. That was something else,
yeah,
man.
They
kill a guy in Oakland. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that I try not to get my blood pressure up. I haven't watched it yet because I know I'm going to just be incensed when I watch it, but I definitely need to do that, if nothing else, just in the memory of that young man. Or, you know, there's a case of a black man who shot a white kid, and he got convicted of this, and he tried to use stand your ground because these white kids were coming to his house to pull his son out of his house to beat the hell out of his son after they called his son all kind of racial slurs. And so they were coming up on this man's porch to pull this guy out the house, and he shot the kid, and he got convicted of that. So you know, you can look at so many different cases where it's unfortunate, and you have to ask yourself the question, if you get caught up in the justice system, how fair will the justice system be? All right, we're going to step out, folks. Coming up next, it is On a Need to Know Basis is coming up at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, we have, before you go, a quick look at some news stories, and of course, chatterbox your comments. It is The Serious Side. We'll be right back after this. Don't go nowhere.
Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
I like this. I tell you what, you working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial, did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? I've been my mistake. I you
see
know
what? See, you're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. Oh, I know that. God. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike. We may be all black and famous.
You
but
are
we all
guilty.
Don't look alike.
I am guilty. I am guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
You're the entertainment reporter
right.
for this station.
Vlog.
And you don't know the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne.
My mistake. I apologize. Really, my big mistake. Let's talk about...
That must be a very short line for your job.
I'll say it. No, it probably would not be hard to get another person to sit right here.
All right, folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines. We have a few stories, but since we're kind of running out of time, and I want to make sure I give Jerome Esprit all the time he needs, we'll just take this one story. Okay. Samuel L. Jackson, Mr. Elias. That was funny. That was funny. Oh, my God.
Yes, it was.
Now, in all fairness, even though the guy didn't mean this particular commercial, Jerome, there was a commercial that played during the Super Bowl that featured Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. But was he talking about that commercial?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't.
Okay.
But,
we all don't look alike. It's from the lack of paying attention to black people.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back with our theme for the day, right? It's like y'all all are in the same boat. So when I saw him, I thought, hey, we have a Samuel Jackson on. Isn't he the guy who played in Good Times? Like, they don't care what any black
fan.
Any black show that they see, they're gonna substitute you with their favorite character in whatever it is that they saw.
Wow. That was funny. Listen, we do have a few minutes. Let's get into this one here. Now, every year, there are always polls out there that talks about the best and worst cities, the best towns to live in. And so we do have that list. So the top five cities, according to whoever, saying that you should not live in these cities. Let's break them down for you. And I think that when you kind of look at this list, you know, obviously, I think some of them are obvious, some of the cities that they're referring to in here. If I can just get my machine to act right here a second, folks, I'll read them to you. Number five on the list, hold on, we're getting there. The worst city is Steubenville, Ohio. I don't get that. They're saying that unemployment is high, that... the net worth of the area is only $83,000 as of 2012. I'm just not sure. They're saying that the house value is not good. Saying, hey, look, don't live in that city. The number four city, I should say, is Lafayette, Louisiana. Okay? Which is kind of weird, Mr. Elias, because if you go back and look at their unemployment rate, it's only at 4.8. But they're saying that the biggest employers in that city are Schlumberger and the Wood Group Production Services. And they're saying that there's a possibility that, you know, hey, these people may leave, whatever the case may be. I'm not sure why they're on the list, but they are. Number three, huh?
That's what I like, Shreveport. They have a pretty big casino on Shreveport. Don't sleep on Shreveport. Anyway, all right, my bad.
All right, Yuma, Arizona, unemployment rate is 30.6%. Ouch.
Damn.
That speaks for itself. Number two is Decatur, Illinois. I have relatives in Decatur, Illinois. 12.7 unemployment rate. They're saying a lot of the major businesses have already moved out. Caterpillar and Archer Daniels Midland, they're moving to Chicago. So, once again, that's jobs that will be leaving that area. Boy, what a sad situation. And last but certainly not least is Shreveport, Louisiana. 6.8% unemployment. But they're saying that because of the GM plant, which is probably going to move, that's going to hurt job production in that area. So there you go. Whatever it's worth. You can find that information out there on the Internet. All right, folks. It is time for Chatterbox. We
kind of read comments from social media. And Mr. Elias, man, who do we have this morning?
We got Marianne. We got Marianne Music. She says all in all, whereas African Americans should make a mental note of the humble incident and never forget the memory of both Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis. R.I.P.
That's well said. Who else? We have anyone else?
We have Easy Rider when he said he didn't quite understand the verdict.
You know what, Easy? That makes six of us because I have no idea what the hell they were thinking about in that. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, it'll be time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with Jerome Esprit. Can't wait to hear what he has in store for us. Don't go nowhere, folks. We'll be right back.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Hi, I'm Jay from The Jay Ryle Show, and it's time for another edition of This Day in Black History. Brought to you by the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Let's do this.
All right, here we go.
Today is February 18th, and on this day, back in 1856, Frederick Douglass was elected president of the Freedman Bank and Trust. On this day in 1970, Joe Frazier knocks out Jimmy Ellis to become the heavyweight champion of the world. And on this day in 1972, Wilt Chamberlain scores his 30,000th point, becoming the first NBA player to reach such a milestone. This Day in Black History is brought to you by the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Make sure you tune in all month long for this most captivating series. I'm Jay Rao. And until next time, we'll see you on This Day in Black History. Take care.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. Anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Turn up a little bit, babe. The track.
Take me away.
Now that you know how I feel about you. Oh, baby, don't let it go to your head, no. So excited, baby, about making love with you.
Alright folks, welcome back, top of the hour. Serious side, 347-850-1272. Just a mishap in that, in this day in Black History. Actually, today is the 16th. And on that note, it is time for On a Need to Know Basis. My main man, Jerome Esprit. Jerome, man, what do you have for us, my brother?
All right, here's what you need to know. And, you know, since this is Black History, I'm going to give you some more. Physicist John Dove invented and patented the laser light technology used for CD-ROM, DVD, and the Laserdisc. It revolutionized how data is stored and transferred. It was invented in 1968. And Otis Boykin invented the electronic controls for the guided missile, IBM computer, and a control unit of the pacemaker. So don't forget, invented some great things. Now, this week, the Senate sent the bill to the president to raise the country's borrowing limit for another year. It's waived until March 15, 2015. Now, I think we had this conversation before, Jay, but I told you this time of year is when politicians raise money, and they were not going to have this fight. Remember I told you that?
Yeah,
so it went under the radar. Nobody's talked about it like it wasn't even a problem, like it never even happened. Now,
exactly.
A new study has found, you know, in our Valentine's week kind of special, a new study has found that more selfless variety of love turns off areas of the brain that seeks reward, such as presents. So when you're selfless, you don't ask for presents, is what this new study that came out of Yale says. So for you people who think, hey, show me that you love me by giving you a gift, you're not in love with nobody. So if you want to find those findings, you go to the Yale research findings of the Journal of Brain and Behavior. It's one of the it's like the Bible of psychology. So the Journal of Brain and Behavior.
Okay.
All right.
You ain't in love with them.
See,
I got to agree with you when you're right, Jerome. I got to agree with you when you're right.
Hey, you know, but here's a hater, speaking of the, at the same time, of love. A Chinese man to ensure that his movie night, which was on Valentine's Day, would not be ruined by snuggling companies, snuggling couples, he bought every other seat in a movie theater to make sure on Valentine's Day that people weren't sitting next to each other. That's a hater.
Wow.
Yeah, he started a crowdfunding campaign because he didn't have enough money to do it, and the theater wouldn't let him do it. So he went online, raised the money, and bought every odd seat in the movie theater. He said it was a small joke, but the film that was playing in China was The Beijing Love Story. He made sure that people had to sit. That's hilarious.
It's ridiculous. Wow.
All right. In court, Bridgestone Tire Company pled guilty to price fixing and agreed to pay $425 million fine to the Justice Department. The investigation has so far levied more than $2 billion in fines, but that agreement is subject to court approval. And the mental note, when you say Obama's spending money, they are getting money back at an enormous rate that they're suing these companies for illegal.
Yeah, you're right about that. I've been hearing about that in the news.
Yeah. In Texas, speaking of hearing something in the news, we have another case of a man suing his ex to return a $28,000 engagement ring that he gave her, and then she broke it off. So he's in court getting his money back.
Wait a minute now. Hold on. Run that by me again. What happened?
Well, in Harris County, in Texas, a man ex to return a $28,000 engagement ring that he gave her before she broke it off. He gave her the ring, she broke it off, and now he wants his ring back.
I don't blame him. I want my ring back, too.
Right. He's going to get it back, too.
Hey, he's gonna win that case. I think in our other case that we did, he actually, the guy actually won. So that was
cool. Did he? I don't remember. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, actually he did win. And,
kudos
for him. Yeah, there you go. And I don't know if you remember this story because ABC co-host of Nightline, Dan Harris, he revealed that he was abusing drugs when he had his on-air meltdown in 2004 when he anchored Good Morning America. He said he was taking cocaine and ecstasy to quell his depression because he was in the Middle East covering Afghanistan, Israel, Palestine, and Iraq for several years. But this fool is still working at Nightline. He just wrote a book about it. He has on-air cocaine and ecstasy. They still, white privilege. Do you want to be talking about that? But I have white privilege for
you. Unbelievable.
He is still working. Can you imagine? I'm sorry. All right, we're doing news. All right, so a former pediatrician in Delaware has been found guilty of waterboarding his 11-year-old stepdaughter, putting her head under a kitchen tap. And Melvin Moore, 60, was convicted of one felony and five misdemeanors.
He put his he put his daughter's head under tap water. Is that under a tap and ran water on her? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
He waterboarded her. Her head under kitchen tap water, and they just said that he faces several years in prison, but he has been suspended. His medical license was suspended after he was arrested.
This is a doctor who did this. Wow. Unbelievable.
They're flipping out. Now a Norwegian boy who's 10 stole his parents' car to visit his grandmother, his grandparents, who was 68 miles away. So he takes his little sister, 18 months, puts her in the car, drives into a ditch, and he actually drove about 6 miles before, he's a 10-year-old, drove 6 miles, drove the car into a ditch. A tow truck driver found him, and he said he was a dwarf and he forgot his license. He was 10. I was going to say that was sharp for the 10-year-old. But I would do a segment of black and white. But police spokesman said, we've talked to their parents and we're pretty sure they're going to pay close attention to him and both of their children and their car keys in the future. Now if they were black, they would have been in jail. I just wanted to say that, too. It's a funny story, but this was in Norway.
He was a dwarf.
He said he was a dwarf who forgot his license.
That was
cute. Hey,
that was good.
This kid is That kid is crafty. He needs to be on lockdown. All right.
Exactly.
Now, the news of Paula Deen, alleged hook and racist alleged, is back in the news. Paula Deen has been awarded from an investment firm from $75 to $100 million contract to sell her goods on SkyMall, in the SkyMall magazine, the in-flight magazine.
Wow.
A private equity firm came across and said, hey, $75 to $100 million they're going to give Deen for a comeback.
There you go.
Again, people still think OJ killed whatever her name is, and still Paula Deen gets $75 to $100 million. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Now, if you want to know who the investment firm is, the guy owns the Phoenix Suns. He's invested in the Phoenix Suns, the Book of the Month
right.
Club, and SkyMall magazine, the in-flight magazine. I know you get him on Delta, so I'll be tossing those magazines when I see him.
Seen him on Real Sports. I just seen that story on him on Real Sports, man. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That is amazing. Now, Rihanna sues her accountant over bad advice which led her to squandering $9 million in 1 year. She's in court now. It includes a $7.5 million moldy Beverly Hills mansion that they had to actually resell, and she took a $2 million loss in it. But she fired her accountant, obviously. But it just shows that your accountants will spend your money and make you broke without you even knowing. She had $11 million in cash in January of 2009 and $2 million by the end of the year.
Wow.
I'd have been pissed too. Don't feel sorry for Rihanna.
So is she done? Is she broke? Is that, what are we saying here? Is she, you know.
Now, see, there you go being negative. Rihanna's worth $43
million. Okay, well, she should shut up then. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, you little negative self. They squandered $9 million, but she still has money. But that just shows that people try to, you thought it was going to be a gossip show about her being broke. She ain't broke. Rihanna's made a lot of money. I'm just saying, but when somebody squanders $9 million, somebody need to go to jail. All right.
Really?
Just wanted to say that. Now, John Singleton has agreed to take on the Tupac biopic. You know, and I don't know, it's been in the works for quite a while, and finally they found a director who actually knows Tupac. So he said that, he directed Tupac in Poetic Justice in 93, and he said he's going to add a new perspective onto it. So he's rewriting the screenplay, and he's going to direct it. So I think that that's a good thing. You know, we always have those questions about can African Americans or can non-African Americans direct African American biopics, and technically I think John Singleton is a good choice. Oh, and by the way, there's a new musical, Holla If You Hear Me. It's going to be, do you know Tupac would have been 43 this year?
Wow.
But yeah, it just seemed like he just passed away a second ago. So
well, it's because you always see him on stage in the hologram, whatever that crap they have him on.
Well, you're about to see him on stage on June 19th. Holly, If You Hear Me is set to premiere on Broadway on May 26th, but it'll open on Broadway on June 19th. So, just in case. I don't know if we have enough time for this one. I was going to save it till next week.
Oh,
but
we do.
There's a study that says...
Go ahead.
I was going to glaze over this one. But there's a new study out that says that porn addiction does not exist, and watching it can prevent sexual... offenses is what the psychologist said. Now, David Lay, who is a clinical psychiatrist and executive director of in New Mexico, has reviewed research in the pornography addiction, and he concluded that the experiments carried out into the topic have been poorly designed and lack proof and scrutiny. Consequently, he concluded that very little, if any, actual evidence exists that has been found to suggest that that addiction exists. And he noted that pornography addiction also, which is not included in the latest version of Diagnosis and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Like, so it's not going to be even there at all as a mental disorder because of lack of scientific data. So if you want to see this, the manual is published in the American Psychiatric Association's journal. It's seen as the Bible for mental health disorder, and he said it does not exist. Now,
well,
by the way,
right.
I've been making this I've been making this claim for years, saying that there's a reason why strip clubs would not are there and they'll never be outlawed. It's because the deviants will go to strip clubs, and if they don't have them, they'll be preying on folks. So that was my theory. So, Dr. Lay, thanks for validating that for me. I'm looking out. Right.
What else, man?
All right, so, you know, there's a woman, 60 years old, I guess I can say her name, 60-year-old woman, who Michigan police said that she escaped from prison 37 years ago, has been a fugitive, and she just appeared in court in San Diego last week, fighting extradition. Did you see that story?
Wow. Now, wait a minute, Joel, let me ask you something, because I saw a story on this, and they said they recognized this lady by her eyes. Is this the same story?
Yeah. Well, they said that they had matched, they said that the guy sent a picture of her, and then they matched her fingerprint. He was going through her old fingerprint cards of escapees and during the winter storms, and then found this woman. Now, I don't know if he said it was through her eyes, but they said from the fingerprint cards. But the woman, to her credit and her attorney's credit, they're not claiming the old identity. They're like, what, me? And they won't give a fingerprint to see if it's back. This is classic.
Oh, wow.
Mental note, if you watch enough Law & Order when the police said this is between just me and you, it's not. You don't have to tell them, Jack. I think she proved the case.
Wow.
So, but they did get her, right? I mean, she was arrested, and she's been apprehended, and so she's in jail, right?
Well, yes. They had to detain her, so the authorities have been searching for her, you know, they said since 77, and she was serving 18 months to 2 years for attempting to steal clothes in a store near Detroit.
Oh, boy.
And so you're going to go through all this cost to bring her back to jail that she's going to probably serve like 2 months and get out. But nevertheless...
Right.
They're holding her, and they're fighting extradition. Because if she just serves it where she is, they don't even have to go back. And by the way, she has a 32-year-old son, I think, who had no clue. Like, so
wow.
She's 37. she escaped 37 years ago, had a baby, and she was like, hey, everything's gravy. She was good.
Now, that is funny. Wow.
Now, all right, so I don't know if you guys are... Venetian blind or what is it called? Just regular, have regular shades in your house. But there's a new device that was created that now allows your Venetian blinds to open automatically. So some guy created these clips. It's way too expensive. It is $129, but you can connect it to your smartphones or tablets or laptops using Wi-Fi and open your blinds just like an alarm clock whenever you schedule them, and schedule them to close them at night.
You know, I can see a use for that, though. If someone's out of town, they want to give the impression that they're at home. I mean, that may not be a bad deal, right?
No. I'm going to say, you know, we did this on a news show, and one of the co-hosts of the news show said this. What if you forget that it's automatic, and you get out the shower and walk past, and your blinds open up? Like, that might be bad. So, I don't know. You had a day off. You forgot that they automatically open at a certain time. And you standing in front of your window. Okay.
I can see that happening, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, so there's plus and minuses in there someplace, Jay. just to look at it from that perspective. Another story that's... by the way, in court, a Florida corrections must answer to a man that was left blind. Now, they thought that he couldn't sue, but a man who had inadequate medical treatment in Florida in a prison left him permanently blind in one eye. The 11th Circuit ruled that he can sue. So just remember, if you're in custody, whether you're in a local jail or police detain you and you sustain any injuries, you can sue them for that, by the way.
Oh, boy. All right. One more, man. We have time for one more.
All right, one more. Okay. So there's a story out that says that premature babies may benefit from being talked to while they're in the hospital, is what the new study suggests. So research has found that premature babies who are talked to in the NEO intensive care unit tend to score higher on development tests, is what they said. They surveyed 36 babies, you know, and did it over several years period, and they found out that the ones who were talked to, I don't know how your baby didn't get selected to talk to, but anyway, they said that the ones that we talked to, the ones we ignored don't know as much, but the ones we talked to are cool. So I don't know what that study means exactly. Talk to your children. That's all. All right. There you have it.
All right, there's my man Jerome Esprit with On a Need to Know Basis. All right, folks, it's time for a quick news update. Then we'll be back with our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere. Almost time to shut it down.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Ukrainian opposition say protesters in the capital, Kiev, have vacated the City Hall building, which they'd occupied for the past couple of months as part of anti-government demonstrations. The BBC's David Stern reports from Kiev they left as part of a deal with the government, which has released some activists from detention.
Opposition Deputy Arsen Avakov, who supervised City Hall's evacuation, said activists had completely cleared out of the building and handed it over to representatives of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Demonstrators occupied and set up a base of operations in Kiev City Hall more than 2 months ago, part of an anti-government protest movement that has gripped Ukraine since November. The protesters have also partially dismantled barricades on a central Kiev street to allow traffic through. The evacuation of the government buildings takes place as demonstrators are gathering in Kiev for yet another major rally.
BBC's David Stern reporting from Kiev. Moving on to South Africa, where rescuers are trying to reach scores of illegal miners reportedly trapped underground in an abandoned gold mine near Johannesburg. Emergency services told Reuters that rescuers are in contact with a group of about 30 miners trapped near the surface, who say some 200 others are trapped further below. Secretary of State John Kerry focusing on climate change this weekend. He delivered a speech today in Indonesia, the world's third largest carbon emitter after China and the U.S. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Tokyo that this is Kerry's third stop on a swing through Asia that has also taken him to China and South Korea.
Secretary Kerry addressed students, officials, and civil society activists at the U.S. Embassy's Cultural Center in a Jakarta shopping mall. He described climate change as a fearsome weapon of mass destruction, and he criticized those who don't believe that climate change is actually happening now. We simply don't have time, Kerry said, to let a few loud interest groups hijack the climate conversation. Kerry also visited Jakarta's Istiqlal Mosque to pay his respects to local Muslims in the world's most populous Muslim-majority nation. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Tokyo.
Wyoming is appealing an Environmental Protection Agency decision that changes the borders of the Wind River Indian Reservation. Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhuroff reports.
In a recent decision about air quality monitoring, the EPA determined the borders of the reservation include about 1 million acres of state says are non-tribal land. The Northern and Eastern Shoshone tribes say the EPA's decision rights a historical wrong, while the state says it's jurisdictional overreach by the federal government that raises questions about law enforcement jurisdiction, taxation, and other issues. Northern Arapaho Tribe spokesman Mark Howell says the tribe expects the court will resolve this long-standing question.
Final determination, once and for all, on the question of the reservation boundaries.
The EPA put its decision on hold until the court weighs in. For NPR News, I'm Irina Zhurov.
This is NPR News.
All right, folks, another Sunday morning down. We appreciate you guys hanging with us. And, of course, you know how we do it. Every Sunday, it is the serious side of the J. Ryle Show. Tune in, be a part of the conversation. Smooth jazz, great conversation. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy it. But now it's time for our final thoughts. Jerome, man, you're up first.
All right. Well, I just want to say that take time to learn something new. It's never a bad time to do that. This month is Black History Month. And there are people who contribute every day to in society, not just for Black history, but that are Black. So it'll help change your impression or your programmed impression of Black people. Take a moment to do that. It'll go far in the long run. So see you again next week. And, hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, you're the greatest of all time, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. All right, my man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, my main man, Mr. LES, man, final thoughts.
Folks, there's not a open season on our youth, our black youth. You know, you guys are you're taking it to the extreme. We're taking a young man's life. That was somebody's son. That was somebody's brother. That was somebody's kid. You just took his life and then went and had some pizza like it was just a normal day at the office. I mean, can we just really think about what you're doing before you take out your gun and pull a trigger at a bunch of youth who their only crime was playing the music loud? Stop killing our youth. Think about what you do before you pull out a gun. Because you know something? When you pull that trigger, you can't put the bullet back. And I like to say on a side note, the Williams family, I have my condolences. They lost their mother last night, and it was a hard blow felt to me, too. So may the Williams family find peace in their days coming up.
I'd like to read something to you, if you would allow me, if I may. Let me read this to you. It says, the fear is that we may get a predominantly black jury and therefore unlikely get a favorable verdict. Sad, but that's where this country is still at. The good news is that surrounding counties are predominantly white and Republican and supporters of gun rights. Let me read another passage for you. The jail is full of blacks and they act like thugs. This may sound a bit radical, but if more people would arm themselves and kill these effing idiots when they threaten you, eventually they may take the hint and change their behavior. Now, I think by now you know who wrote those letters. That's right, the man who was convicted of 4 out of 5 counts, Michael Dunn. This guy was convicted of trying to kill black teenagers, but he was not convicted of killing a black teenager. Folks, this is the country in which we live. This guy can write this nonsense. Now, keep in mind, we all know that jailhouse letters are red. He didn't give a damn who saw it. This is the country that we live in. Jurors, let me tell you something. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You shouldn't call yourselves Americans. How can you sit here and let a man who had no reason to shoot at these kids other than the fact that they were black, he thought they acted like thugs and sounded like thugs, and they had the music loud? Really? This is ridiculous. And just think, today, let me wish happy birthday to a very special young man who won't hear me say this, but happy birthday, Jordan Davis. You would have been 19 years old today. And on that note, Mr. LES, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
Folks, it has been our pleasure to serve you each and every Sunday. Enjoy your work week, and God bless you, and be safe. So for Mr. LES and for Jerome Esprit, I'm J. Rao. And if it is Sunday, we're talking serious stuff. It is the serious side. We'll see you in 7 days. God bless. Take care.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.